It's time for What's Cooking on 95BFM.
Yes, indeed. It is time for What's Cooking. And in the studio, we have Sarah Illingworth, aka Body of Work. Kia ora, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Kia ora.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you on. Quite an auspicious afternoon here in the world, I guess. Very interesting.
Pretty sad state of affairs. Although, you never know.
You never know what's going to happen.
There's still a bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty depressing.
Yeah. So could you start off by telling us how long has Body of Work been your body of work?
Well, the songs that I've been putting out recently have been knocking around for about 5 years.
Yeah.
But I only started releasing them a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay, cool.
Chose the name a few months ago. I kind of hadn't really landed on something or what I would do about an artist name if I ever put the fuckers out. Sorry. But yeah, I don't know. I can't remember exactly the conversation in my head at the time, but it just kind of seemed to fit. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Now you had a new track, Maudlin.
Maudlin. It's actually harder to say out loud than I thought it would be. So
Maudlin to None. Hell yeah. And that's been out since October 4th.
Yeah.
And that's part of a collection of songs that you're putting out, Secondhand Blues.
It is, yeah.
What propelled you to start this project?
Well, I was living in Manchester, and I moved there in 2014 to study. And when I got there, I started delving into music a little bit, and
hell yeah.
Which I'd always kind of played around with lyrics and little bits of songs and stuff, but never properly given it a go. But yeah, just made it more of a priority when I was living there, partly because I knew no one and I was like, it felt less embarrassing. But yeah, so that I was kind of doing that, and then a friend who's a very good musician, normally does, like, he'd normally make indie music, I guess, for want of just an easy description, decided that he wanted to make some pop tracks, some pop songs.
Yeah, cool.
And asked if I could write some lyrics for the tracks that he'd made. So that's how it started.
Yeah. How is that sort of, hope someone else has made the music and then just doing the lyrics for it? Is that kind of...
It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like half the work's done and then it's just putting lyrics into it.
And it was really nice for me as well because I, just to kind of have that opportunity to work on something real, you know?
Yeah.
And then I ended up coming back to... Aotearoa and at the start of 2020, right when everything kicked off with COVID.
Yeah, of course.
And by the time I got on the plane, I knew I'd be here for longer than 2 weeks, which is what I was originally supposed to be doing. But I didn't expect things to go the way they did. I was like, I'll be back in a few months probably.
And yeah. Then
it just kept making sense to not go back.
Yeah.
But since I moved back, since I've been back here, different friends have helped me out at different points with kind of just working on the songs. And last year I did some publicity for Tom Lark. I did the PR for his album release.
Cool.
And as a trade, he's helped me with, he's done more than help. He's, basically reimagined the songs and
awesome.
Done it proper. So
wow.
Lucky me.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
And lucky Tom Lark helping him out.
Well, true. But, music is a more magical thing than publicity.
So you selected a few songs for us to listen to, and we got a bit of Jasmine Mary.
We do,
here to start off. I went to their show on Friday, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We were just discussing reasons why you might have been there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Indeed. And it was a great show.
It really was.
Yeah, and you're quite a fan of Jasmine, I imagine.
I am. And I was particularly... And tell me how you feel about it. We can discuss it.
Yeah, we can.
I left to get a drink about halfway through the performance, and when I came back, Jasmine had just walked off stage, and we thought maybe she was doing an outfit change, which would have been a shame because she was wearing a great outfit.
Yeah, the Italian sparkly.
It was very eye-catching. and sort of a slightly blinding at times, actually. But instead what happened is I came back into the theatre and the curtain had lifted and there was Jasmine playing a Baby Grand? Or was it a grand?
I don't remember. It was pretty big.
I don't know my piano sizes.
Yeah, neither.
And the stage was rotating as they performed.
That was awesome.
It was quite something.
Yeah. I just remember the curtains lifting and everyone was like, whoa. And then the stage started turning after that. And then there was another, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Such a show perfectionist or a show performer, Jasmine.
An incredible voice, incredible, an incredible performer, truly. Yeah, and this is Jasmine's new single, In a Field.
In a Field.
Which was kind of the cause for celebration on the night, actually.
Fantastic. Well, as you heard, In a Field.
I'll place you.
bit of Jasmine Mary there in a field. If you are just tuning in, we have Sarah Illingworth in the studio with us, also known as Body of Work. I was reading that you had quite a few people work on the songs with you, the likes of Julian Dine,
yeah,
and things like that. How was it working with everyone? Because I guess some artists, they're quite bedroom artists, and then in this instance you've sort of worked with a whole bunch. What was that like?
Yeah, it was great. My main background, like my worky background, is very words focused, like the written word on a page or a screen, and a lot of that you just do by yourself.
Yeah.
Which is fine too, but it's been really nice to do something that requires me to work with other people, partly because I can't play anything well enough to do it by myself. But I'm not afraid of that.
Exactly. You can rise up to the challenge.
Well, I'm 41, so we'll see how I go. But I can respect the fact that other people have greater skill than in many ways. But yeah, no, it was great. And actually, Julian, I got lucky with that too, because he asked if I could help with something, and I was like, do you want to do a trade? So,
bartering system.
Barter is a circular economy, guys.
It certainly is.
It's a good way to go. And then another friend. It was Shannon and Julian were the only instrumentalists on the tracks, and Jeremy Toy mastered them. Which was another coup. Not a barter. That wasn't a barter. and who was I? Another friend, Cam Ballantyne, who is a composer, had previously helped me just record sort of dummy vocals for the pre-existing tracks that Dan had made in Manchester. And that was super helpful too, because it gave me something to listen back to for like a year and a half before the opportunity came up with Shannon. I feel very thankful to everyone who's sort of helped at different stages.
Everyone's so nice in the music scene, I would say, here in New Zealand. Everyone's willing to help, which is great.
Most of the time
Okay, so there's another track here by Mousy, Die on That Hill. We love Mousy here at BFM. Die on That Hill, great track.
Great track, big track. I really love this album. Now I'm going to forget the name of it. Something to do with our mother's mothers, the dreams of our mother's mothers. That came out a couple of weeks ago. And I saw both Serena and Jasmine perform at the Exploding Rainbow Orchestra thing at Hopetown Alpha.
That's right, yeah.
A few weeks ago, and they were both incredible, just such amazing voices. And I've seen Serena, I've seen Mousy perform before, and was really blown away, and I was reminded of how great she is on that night. And she's also got a show coming up in a couple of weeks, so if you want to see for yourself.
Oh, hell yeah. Little cheeky plug.
I think it's the 23rd of November.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm not working for her.
There's no trading happening there. No bartering.
And I think the themes of the album are really powerful, and I know they come from a deeply personal place. So, yeah.
Great. Awesome. Well, let's hit the track.
Is the temperature right? Do I There's so many of us, the internet says, and still I question if it's God's good way. Are we as noble as I want to believe? The pavers, the bloomers, the dreams of our mothers, mothers, I've been here before. And I know the drill. Would it be alright if I died on that hill? I tried.
Die on that hill, Mousy. So you said you moved to Manchester in 2014. Are you gonna head back there? Have you been back since you came back to New Zealand?
I'm so glad you asked. I went back for the first time last month.
Wow.
Or was it the month before? We're in November now. Yeah. So that was the first time I'd been back.
Wow.
So
what was it like going back after sort of having that COVID time here and then?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's coming up to like 5 years since I've been home. And I lived there for 5.5, and it just doesn't feel like the same kind of time, you know?
Yeah.
I'm also like, how am I old enough to like 10 years to have passed in my adult life. Anyway, it was great. It was really cool to be back there and see my people over there. It felt real easy. But I also thought I might feel emo because I get emo sometimes.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel emo other than the emo of happiness.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was just really happy to see everybody. Mm. And then I was also happy to come back. So, Yeah.
And you've made, lots of lifelong friends, I'm sure, having been in Manchester. So that's probably great that you went, you know, originally.
Yeah. They're friendships that will last forever, I hope.
Yeah.
And I saw Dan, actually, who is the originator of all of this in some ways. And I was like, I just put out my first single before going, not really on, it just kind of happened that way, but I was like, yay, I can tell him that I finally finished the damn thing. And I saw him, and he's this like very tall, very introverted man from Birmingham, and I was like, Dan, I did it. And he was like yeah, great.
Anything else for me?
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think, is it easier or harder to be a musician in the UK, would you say?
I think in some ways it's easier because I think about this quite a lot. Not really for myself because it's not something that I'm trying to do to survive off. All power to those that do. But there's so much pressure on artists here to, I think because we're so small. New Zealand's a really small place and it's really far away from all the major hubs, you know?
Yeah.
And to kind of get to the point where you're making music of a quality and you're established enough to try and go do that elsewhere, it's like then you get to the other places and you kind of have to start again, you know?
Yeah, right.
It takes a lot. And I think that leads to like people who, we've got so many incredibly talented artists in Aotearoa who are just highly skilled, you know.
Mm.
I feel like per capita there must be some sort of crazy percentage that we
I reckon we're up there.
But in Manchester and in other places, I've lived in Tucson and Arizona briefly before I was in Manchester, and it was similar there, you know, like they're both music towns, but people are kind of more low-key about it, and it's just kind of interwoven in their life. I'm sure they'd love to break through and be able to make money from it, but it's kind of, it doesn't seem to be the driving
thing
as much.
It's more just for fun in a way, or just playing shows and not thinking, oh, I'm going to get absolutely massive.
Or if I don't, then I have to stop.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think, and maybe that's a bit of a, maybe that's a bit of a New Zealand tall poppy, or you know, just our tendency to be a bit self-deprecating.
We strive, and we strive to be big, you know.
We punch above. But yeah, and I think that's sad to me if people, you know, and I think, you know, as artists get older, and it's still because there aren't as many opportunities here.
Yeah.
I think a lot of artists feel like they have to
stop.
It's harder to mentally keep yourself going because you kind of feel like, am I just being an idiot? Like, do I have to make that call? And I just, it's a shame to me that that sort of feels like an either or.
Yeah, it should be like, you can do music into your 90s and, you know, it should be fun the whole time. And
Yeah. And I do some work with someone who is 83.
Wow.
He's American. An artist called Michael Hurley, and he will just keep making music until he dies, whether or not anyone listens to it.
He just loves doing it.
He just, it's just who he is. And
Hell yeah. That's pretty cool. Okay, we've got Billie Jean, Running Amok, another track that you've chosen.
Yeah, I was saying before, as I was saying, when I sent these choices through, I was like, they're all quite intense songs. Like, is it going to be a bit much for a Wednesday afternoon?
Hey, intense given, songs for an intense day. It's great.
Given the state of the day, this feels particularly correct. I love the song. Billie Jean is an incredible artist. What a voice, and what a message as well. I feel like, the song will probably speak for itself, but if you feel like you don't need to be political in this time, it sounds like you might have a little bit of privilege.
Oh, yes.
And not everyone has that luxury.
Indeed.
Of opting out. So, go for it.
Perfect.
They're running amok in town. That's what Uncle reckons. But nobody listens, cause where he drank, he a clown. Somebody stole his land, and everyone knows who did it. They're running amok. 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 They emptied out the pantry and picnicked on his bones. He ventured to the table, but all the seats were taken. Sacrificed the mountain, pronouncing his damnation. The congregation nodded their heads and everybody said amen. They're running amok. 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 Somebody stole our land, and everyone knows who did it. They're running.
Running Amok by Billie Jean. And yes, we do have Sarah Illingworth in the studio chatting to us and picking a few songs. So you've had a couple tunes out, two tunes. And you got one coming out next Friday,
yeah.
And then how many more after that have you sort of got in the bag?
None in the bag. But we're going to try and record another couple before December.
That's probably
not going to happen. But just to finish off that group of songs.
Yeah.
And if we do, then Secondhand Blues will be out on the 10th of December.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
10th
if
of
we
December.
Don't, you just won't hear from me again.
Or in a few months' time when you manage to get them
I'll
out.
Be like, and here's the rest of the... Oh, it can be the deluxe version. Maybe that's what I'll... Yeah.
Yeah. A few, like a CD extras.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah's version. But it won't be my version.
Oh, my God.
That would be good.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in to chat to us. And, good to have you on such a... It's suddenly turned grey in the sky out there. But it is very warm. But we're going to go off on one song... That's coming out next Friday. The Remember My Decision for One Day.
Yeah.
What were you thinking when you were writing these lyrics?
Thinking is key. The song was actually called before. I was calling it Thinking of You because that's one of the lyrics in it.
Oh yeah.
And then when I went to load it into DistroKid, I was like, "There's probably 1 million other songs called Thinking of You."
Right.
I googled it and then I was like, Katy Perry, Thinking of You. And I'm not trying to go head to head or anything, but
no.
I, as part of that same Google search, you know how the Max, like if you Google something, a little pop-up comes up and it says, it asks if it can know your location and then it says, remember my decision for one day. And
oh.
I was like, oh.
Wow, thanks Google.
Yeah, so that's where I got that from, and that's how.
But it tied into the song.
It's not
just
irrelevant.
A random. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, that's actually quite poetic. and it is. I guess they're all kind of like about relationships and stuff. But I did try to. It's easier to write like kind of angsty songs, I think, and then tone them down. Is how I usually do it. And then this one, I was like, you can write like a positive song about someone you used to date. So then I was kind of like, oh yeah, we weren't angry at each other.
We left on good terms.
We're fine. I always get there in the end. But yeah, there was that's where this came from.
Fantastic. Hey, well, we thanks so much for coming on and we're excited to listen to this. This is Remember My Decision for One Day from Bodywork.
They chose to focus
What's cooking on 95 BFM?